Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. I'm Melody Cedarstrom, and I'm here with my co-host, Pastor Butch Paul, and we're going to bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. Today is Monday, April 26, 2021. Good afternoon, Butch.
Good afternoon, Melody. I sound like you're really chipper today.
Well, I am. It's Monday.
It is Monday. It's been a pretty day, actually, too.
Yes, it's great to be back to work. You know, we just love work so much.
Well, speaking of work, where were you and I spreading fertilizer and lime on the field today? Where were you? I looked for you all morning.
I couldn't find you.
Oh, is that what it was? Okay,
yeah,
all right.
Couldn't find you. Yeah.
You're not the first one. We are kind of off the road back here. Some people do have a hard time finding us.
Yeah, so next year,
okay. Well, right. Actually, this fall. We do it twice a year, because so this fall be good.
But I only do it in the spring.
Ah, oh, y'all good. You women are good. I tell you what, yeah, now. Y'all slick.
Yeah.
Anyway.
All right. Gold today, up 380. No, not a lot, but it's up $1,781. Silver's up 17 pennies at $26.24. Platinum was up 13 at $1,249. Palladium was up 66 at $2,980. USDX today is holding at 90.82. Crude oil was down 22 at 61.92. And the paper markets today, oh, a little computer. Again, we have the S&P rising slightly to an all-time high again. Earnings ahead of big earnings. NASDAQ hits a new record. The Dow was down 61 points at 33,981. The S&P was up 7 at 4,187. Yeah, it's not like there are huge gains to beat the record, 7 points, 4,187. The NASDAQ was up 121 at 14,138. And let's see, what else do we got here? Let's go to the bond, see what the 10-year deal. It's still holding that 1.56 level. I mean, it's barely moved. It's like it's frozen. European markets, they were all higher across the board. Asian markets, Shanghai, Hang Seng, they were down slightly. You know, not any big moves in any one single market. So, but, you know, Butch, we talk about inflation a lot on this program, and I'm sure the listeners get tired of it, too. But, I mean, there's some things to know about and to see these prices that are really creeping into the market. You have crop prices. They're
Absolutely.
Soaring to an 8-year high. It's going to make all essential food commodities dramatically more expensive. And those costs are going to spill over into the grocery store shelves. You have wheat, corn, soybeans. This is the backbone of much of the world's diet. We're just not talking here in the United States. We're talking the world's diet.
Yes, we are.
They're all surging to highs not seen since 2013.
And those are the things that you feed the beef and other meat products. That can make meat prices go up, too.
Well, that's what China is doing. They're gobbling
right.
up the world's grain supplies and is set to import the most corn ever as it expands its massive hog herd. Rumors are swirling that the Asian nation is working on 1 million metric tons of new corn purchases. 1 million metric tons of new corn purchases. And an analyst at Farm Futures said in a phone interview, we are getting close to the point of having to ration demand. Farmers are either running out of crops to sell or waiting for the market to go even higher. So, yeah, this is all stirring food inflation fears because staple crops heavily influence consumer pricing. And it's for everything from bread to pizza dough to meat and even your soda. And these crops or pricey crops are helping to drive even broader gains across the commodities complex. We've seen it in palladium and copper. We've had wheat climb to the priciest since 2013 before closing 3.8% higher. Corn settled up by 25-cent exchange limit. This is a big deal. This isn't going to turn on a dime to where everything becomes more expensive again. And even if you're lucky enough to be in a market where, because people can't hire, nobody wants to work. I've seen on a Subway store today, $18, up to $18 to make a sandwich. That's not going to offset any of these food pricing increases. So, I mean, this, and I think the most disturbing part, Butch, of this whole article is China. This is the power they have.
Yes.
They're taking grain supplies. That hurts everybody. They're going to ration possibility. That surprises me, Butch.
Well, you know, you mentioned, too, that I was covering some information on Can't Find Help in a Minute. McDonald's had the same problem, but we'll share that in a minute. But they're having to raise their salaries to get workers to come into work, which means in addition to paying for extra for the bread and products they need in the shop, they got to pay the worker more, which means they have to raise prices more. But listen to this. This is almost unbelievable. Oregon, one of the most liberal states in the country, Oregon bill to ban livestock. Stunning war on farming and ranching. Now, I'm not making this up, folks. This is for real. This is from the Ice Age farmer. The bill specifies that animals can only be eaten after dying of natural causes, at which point age, disease, meat is not good. Oregon's 12,000 beef producers raising about 1.3 million head of cattle are slated for elimination as traditional farming and ranching is shut down in favor of lab-grown meat and indoor farms owned by the technocrats. A perfect way to force population into perfect slavery. Christian, the guy who wrote the article, Christian breaks it down in this Ice Age farmer broadcast. So you can't kill the animals because it's inhumane. If you eat them, you got to wait to die of old age or disease. What's that going to do to the price of meat? What there is of it?
Well, that kind of goes.
Do you see a tightening on the food supply?
Oh, of course.
If they control the food, who was it say that? Kissinger? Somebody said if whoever controls the food controls the people. That makes sense.
Well, you know, Butch, Biden did say that we're only supposed to eat 4 pounds of beef a year.
I know. I probably eat that much in one sitting sometimes. I like good steak. But anyway, but if they pass these laws in Oregon, it goes through, and the farmers can't really raise them to slaughter because it's inhumane, and other states follow suit, like maybe perhaps Washington, another liberal state, or California. If these go through and people stand for it, yeah, folks, it's going to cause a huge increase in meat prices, and people will be buying the meat options because they can't afford the meat. That's called control again. More and more and more control. Unbelievable.
It really is. Even to think that it's up there. I doubt if it's going to get passed. I don't think it'll become a law in the books. But
just introduce
it's just
it.
The idea.
Yes.
That these thoughts are out there. And it won't be the last time, even if it doesn't get passed, which I doubt it will. It will come up again somewhere, somehow. And, yeah, I mean, to ration grains, we're there because China has the ability. I mean, that's amazing that one country has that much control.
Mm-hmm.
And then you go over to copper. Copper climbed to the highest in almost a decade. And aluminum is surging. And iron ore. They both jump to a fresh high, and we forget, you know, copper, I mean, you know, is used in everything. Electrical
oh, yes.
wiring to motors. I mean,
people have died trying to steal it.
Yes.
Electrocuted.
Yeah. Well, if they're trying to steal it, well.
Yeah, really. They've actually been around here in some of the mines. They were electrocuted trying to steal it out of the coal mines. They were electrocuted trying to get out of the transformers or off the power stations. They got killed doing it. I mean, I don't know how they could be that ignorant, but obviously they are.
So we see copper hitting the highest level since 2011. And, of course, everybody's excited to some degree because this is a sign of a recovery. Is it a sign of recovery? Or is it just a sign of inflation? Or is it a combination of both? And so, again, it's just interesting. And that just means your costs are going to be higher and higher. Sure. And higher.
Yeah, the copper, steel and guts about around here, they passed a state law that they have to verify where the copper comes from before they can sell it to the wholesaler or whatever. You take it in a pond or whatever you do to take it to a metals place, they have to have proof where they got it from. So if the business doesn't get proof of that, they can be fined for selling illegal copper.
Yeah.
So
well,
that's
you know,
the way it is.
Well, you know, China is pledging to reduce output, I guess, of steel. And you're beginning to see these things all over the place. I don't know. You have the threat of COVID in nations like South America. It could hamper the export of, you know, the key industrial commodities like we're talking about, the iron ore and copper. It's one thing to talk about inflation, Butch. Mm-hmm. We've been fortunate enough to, as a country, to really have avoided it to some degree. But when you see these moves by various nations of talking about rations and talking about, trying to hold off on shipments and so forth. It's kind of, we have absolutely no control at all.
No, we don't. And I would think that the first priority for the United States will be to feed the citizens of this country instead of shipping them to China. And I would think China's first priority will be to either raise their own grain, their own food. They have enough land mass to do that, obviously. So I would think they would have take care of their own people first, and then the surplus goes overseas. That's just my way of thinking, but I guess I'm way off kilter in a lot of things like that.
Yeah, we're old.
We are old. We are. We are old.
Yes, you are.
And did you want to hear a funny headline? You're going to like this one. GOP worries fiscal conservatism losing its rallying cry. Did you hear that?
Yeah, I saw that.
The GOP is worried about fiscal conservatism, and Trump increased the $8 trillion increase when he's in office. And GOP is worried about it. When did they start worrying about it again, Melody? I didn't hear it mentioned hardly at all last election. I don't hear it mentioned any local, really anything as far as national news any longer. We're going to trim the budget. We're going to try to save money here or there. But the GOP is worried all of a sudden. I wonder if they're trying to find a horse to ride in the next race.
Possibility.
You know, they said since the Tea Party demise, which was a dominant force, I think back in 2010, you know, midterm elections, since it's been kind of went to the wayside, this matter's kind of been dropped for other issues, I suppose. But I thought it was kind of funny. GOP worried about fiscal responsibility and... But that's only when Democrats are in office. When Republicans are in office, they can do what they want to do, just like Democrats do. So there you go. I'll share that with you.
Huh.
I mean, it's not really not funny, but it is what it is. But on the other side, federal taxing, spending, and deficit all set records in the first half of 2021. This is under Biden, folks. Federal taxes, spending, and the federal deficit all set records in the first 6 months of fiscal 2021, October through March. Federal taxes climbed, now listen to this, to $1,703,949,000,000 in October through March period, while federal spending climbed $3,410,194,000,000. The gap between the record federal tax collections and the record federal spending in October through March period resulted in a record federal deficit of $1,706,245,000,000. Wow. Taxes went up to records, spending went up to records, and deficit went up to records. Now, how's that for fiscal responsibility?
Yeah. And nobody cares.
No, nobody cares.
Nobody
That's
cares.
Why I thought it was funny. GOP doesn't care either.
No, they don't.
I mean, we're kidding ourselves here. I mean, even if they did care, they can't change it now. It's too late.
And all I hear about is, oh, the next 6 months is just going to be gangbusters because of the stimulus, because of everybody getting back to work, everybody coming out of lockdown, everybody having their shots and being able to go into the stores and go to the movies and eat. And I'm just thinking, you know, that's our economy is consumers eating and drinking and buying.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, what's wrong with this picture?
Very true. Well, we produce nothing except hamburgers. We're no longer making of our own goods, our own services. We don't. I mean, our own products. So, all we have left is service industry.
Yeah.
Very few things are actually made in the United States anymore. That's purely made in the United States. You may assemble things here with parts made other places, like automobiles, for example. But as far as manufacturing plants here that bring in the hundreds of thousands of jobs, it's just not here any longer. And that's a sad state of affairs for a country that once was as plentiful and as independent as we once were. Yeah. But not any longer.
I don't know. It's going to get interesting.
It really and truly is. And we've got time for the next article. Thank you. McDonald's. Apologize for understaffing. Nobody wants to work anymore. I got three articles to tie together with this. A TikTok video has gone viral on social media for showing a McDonald's wild apology for lack of staff. The restaurant located somewhere in the United States put up a sign saying that no one wants to work anymore, and hundreds of internet users expressed solidarity. User Britt Logan posted a clip of the ad placed next to the horn of her drive-thru service. In it, McDonald's apologized to the customers for not having enough workers. We are short-staffed. Please be patient with the staff who did show up. Nobody wants to work anymore, reads a controversial sign. And I'm laughing. It's not funny, but it's true. It's happening right now.
It is. We'll finish that up when we get back from the break. You're listening to Financial Survival. Please stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit csetalkradio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Oh, Butch, nobody wants to work. Can I take the rest of the day off?
Yeah, sure thing.
You can too. Nobody has to work.
We'll just tell Todd to shut down everything. We'll just all go home.
Yeah, he doesn't have to work either.
No.
Yeah.
But I was saying during the break, and this really is, it really is funny, but it's not funny. I was offered a job at Tudor's. No, folks, not Hooters. Tudor's and McDonald's myself, and I'm 72 years old. But people my age are working, Melody, really working full-time at these restaurants. Because young folks will not work, and not all of them, but a lot of them won't. Now, that's just the way it is. I know it's not a happy situation, but it is that way. It's so bad now that Florida McDonald's offer $50 just to show up for a job interview. Think about that. Just show up and get $50. And McDonald's location is so desperate for workers that offer that people $50 just to show up for a job interview. Despite the free money, the restaurant was still reportedly having trouble finding staff. Business Insider reports the franchise owner described the situation as a perfect storm, with business booming, making them busier than usual while they're understaffed. You've got a lot of people with a lot of money, and they're out there shopping, Blake Casper told the outlet. And then, on the flip side, we're scrambling for help. Surprisingly, the $50 offer reportedly hasn't attracted many applicants. Casper did say, however, that other hiring efforts have worked well, including referral programs, hiring bonuses, allowing people to apply via text message. They also said that he has raised starting wages to attract more workers. A sign outside the restaurant says, now, get hired today, 11:15 an hour. You set up where you are, what was the restaurant that was offering? $18
Subway.
Now you say Subway.
Subway.
$18 an hour.
$18 to put together.
That's good money. That's good money.
You know, it's good money, but it is true. I mean, our wages don't buy anything anymore.
No, they don't.
I mean, really, you can't. It's not a livable wage. And it's. And we got the open borders now. You know who's going to be taking those positions. Because we get people here that are taking unemployment and an extra $300 till the end of the year. Rents are paid for. They can't be evicted. And I'm not mean, this Butch, when we say things like that, it sounds like we're such horrible people that we're, you know, we don't have any empathy for these people, you know, who are
that's
affected.
That's not true.
And that's not true. But I mean, it's, where does it all end? When does it stop? And what happens next?
When do people start having responsibility for themselves?
Exactly.
You know, if I hadn't paid my mortgage payment, I would have lost my home. There would be no sympathy there. They just took my home.
Yep.
I mean, if I don't pay my prop taxes, they'll take my home. I don't get a free ride. I never got a free ride. Now, I'm not saying it's wrong to help somebody. I'm not saying that. But we have to take responsibility for ourselves, or we become wards of the state, which means we become slaves to a system. And that's where we are. Folks, this is really true. We become wards of the state. When somebody's got to take care of you, watch over you, you're not free. You're not independent. At best, you're a slave, and at worst, you're a bum. That's just all there is to it. You have there's no integrity and pride left, and that's used to me. Now, I didn't say it to everybody, but a lot of people couldn't care less, Melody, if somebody else feeds your family. As long as they get by, they don't care. I guess I was raised in a different era. I was taught to work for what I earned, and I don't mean pride in a boastful way, but be have enough integrity and want to do something for myself and family. I don't want charity. That doesn't mean I haven't had to have a couple of times over the years, but that isn't why I'm alive. I want to be independent as much as I can be and feed my own family and give to others when I can. What's happened to that idea?
Well, there's no initiative in this world anymore. We always used to, when I went to work, I always wanted to better myself. I did want more. I did want to make more money. I did want more benefits. I did want more education too, so I could have those things. I always wanted to improve myself. We've been conditioned. It's a conditioning over a period of time. Government benefits strips that from you. And you become to live on what they give you. You adjust your lifestyle. And they control your lifestyle. And every time you try to do better, if you're on a government program, you lose your program. And sometimes you do need both for a while to get you started. And that was the whole point. Here's something to get you started. And, you know, eventually you'll get better and you won't need it. But there's just a breaking point. You have a little money in the bank. You still need help. But they make you use all your money until they'll help you. They want you broke. They want you broke so you have no way to defend yourself.
That's very true.
And you become accustomed, and there goes all initiatives, and you know, look at these college loans anymore. Look at the amount of debt that these young adults have. How are they going to pay it back? Okay, so we're going to take it. We're going to say, you don't have to pay $50,000 of it back. And free education. Well, what are you learning? What are you learning? How are you learning to become a responsible adult? It's baffling, Butch.
It is, Melody, and I have to say, and I'm saying this because I'm a man, I think everybody say it, manhood is dying off in this country. We've become a nation of effeminate, as a whole, effeminate men. And according to scriptures in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9, effeminate men, not homosexuals, but effeminate men who are womanish and soft, and don't provide for the family. Bible says a man will not provide for his own family, is denied the faith, the worst infidel, they're going to hell. We've lost the manhood of America. We have a lot of males, but not a lot of real men that will do what they have to supply for their family and take care and protect them. That's just the way it is, folks. You can get over it what you want to do, but it's just the way it is. It is. And show how far this is leading. Police in Philly and beyond are struggling with a shortage of police recruits and a surge in retirements. And I can understand why a lot of people don't want cops anymore. So what's going on with the cops? I can understand that. I truly can. I'll share a story I had with a state trooper here yesterday. But police don't want to be police anymore, one local police chief said. It's a good job. A good paying job, but when you look at national news every day, people just don't want to be officers. Amid growing calls for police reform and national debate over the daily use of force, police departments in Philadelphia and beyond are struggling to retain and attract officers, law enforcement officials say. Across the region and nation, police officials and unions leaders describe the state of recruiting as in crisis mode. Police recruits go through in a perfect storm. We are anticipating that the department is going to be understaffed by several hundred members because hundreds of guys are either retiring or taking other jobs, leaving the department, said Mike Nelson, the spokesperson for Philadelphia Paternal Order of Police, Laws Number 5, the union that represents city police officers. And I was talking to a police officer yesterday at the gym where I'm a member, nice young guy. He said, we used to have as high as 2,000 applicants want to get into the school in Charleston, the police academy, down below Charleston, and now they had 60, Melody, 60. He said most of them can't pass a background check. They're felons or have other problems. But most of them, I mean, we can't get the people that could do qualify, come in and go to work. So they're understaffed, really, you know, undermanned. I won't tell how many people they have in our county working at a time. That would be unfair to them, but hardly any, because they can't find people that want to be a state police or even a city policeman anymore. And I understand some of the reasons why. Talking this to the cop yesterday, I said I can understand why people hesitate, because anything y'all do anymore, no matter what it is, you're the bad guy. And it's just not the way it ought to be. But it is what it is. But I just think if we can find good men, to be law enforcement, what are we going to find? Who's going to be there?
You know, for a long time in the after the Iraq War, you saw a lot of veterans, military, the police forces around the country advertised.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of the police, the new police, are veterans and been to war. And, you know, I don't know what the solution is, but there's a friend of the family. He's a police officer. And we were talking to him a couple of weeks ago. And he says the real problem, he says, in so many of these departments is the lack of money. He says, you'd be surprised at some of the tools that are available. But the departments, and he was referencing Baltimore because we're close to Baltimore. He says, but because they don't use the money to help the police force, he says, they actually have something. I don't know if I heard right, but I'm pretty sure I did. And I had wanted to follow up on it, but I never did. So I don't know if I should say it or not. But he said that there are tools that can... He says there was something they had that could bring a person down. It wasn't a gun, and it wasn't a taser. It was something else. And he says it would drop a person to his knees. He says, but they don't have the money. They don't spend the money. They don't have the money to do that.
Hmm.
And it surprised me that. There was actually, number one, I don't know if you want to call it a weapon, but a tool to which could help the police officers in such a, especially in the climate that we're in now, and it just goes ignored. But this is Baltimore. But how many other cities across this nation have access to that same tool? So you don't take money away from the police force, you add money.
Yeah, it's a situation that's bad in both directions, and it's just a sad thing where the nation's in this condition, but the nation's been falling apart in a lot of different ways also, Melody. It's just falling apart for a lot of reasons. And I don't like it, and that's why we're on this radio show trying to tell people to prepare for rough times ahead. And I'm not a prophet. I don't set dates. I don't believe in that. But I do think by July we're going to see a lot of things worsen very quickly in this country, maybe the world. But I do think so. I do believe that.
I was actually told September.
September?
Yeah.
I know that Harris, Vice President Harris, is told the UN, is going to tell the UN to prepare for another pandemic. How would she know that? What do you suppose is planned next? And they're talking July, you said September, whatever. But how does she know, predict there's going to be another pandemic, Melody? What do they know they're not telling us? If it's anything like this past pandemic, this shut the whole world down, and we're not going to get over it for a long time if we ever do. We'll never get the job back. I mean, with 40 million businesses in this country closed down, then they're going to come back. So what's the next one going to do? Any comments on that?
Well, if anybody is following the story in India.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, some of the headlines over there. I mean, people are dying in the streets. They don't have oxygen. Bodies are falling from overloaded ambulances. And the stories go on and on and on. My question was, well, why is that happening now and it didn't happen a year ago? Things didn't change. Oh, well, this is a resurgence. A resurgence of the virus. No. Why didn't India have it? Because their conditions, the number of people and their conditions and everything, you would think that they would have had the same thing happening a year ago as they are now. So what's different?
True.
Is this the new virus that you're talking about, Bush? A new pandemic?
I wish I hadn't answered that.
You know, so, well, you know, there's all of these dots are always connected. Somehow, some way, they're all connected. But
it's
terrible what's happening in India, but I just find the timing of it is to question. Yes.
Yeah, exactly. And insurance costs threaten Florida real estate boom. Now, this comes from, I guess you say, left field. In the most expensive state for home insurance, carriers seek to curb litigation, limit payouts on roof claims. Florida's property insurance market is in trouble as mounting carrier losses and rising premiums threaten the state's booming real estate market, according to insurance executives and industry analysts. Longtime homeowners are getting socked with a double-digit rate increase on notices that their private policies won't be renewed. Out-of-state home buyers who have flocked to Florida during the pandemic are experiencing sticker shock. Insurance that are swimming in red ink are cutting back coverage in certain geographic areas to shore up their finances. Various factors are at play, of course. Insurance executives and analysts say two hurricanes that slammed the state, Irma in 2017, Michael in 2018, generated claims estimated cost about $30 billion. The cost of reinsurance, which insurers take out to cover some of the risk in the policies they sell, is swelling. In particular, concerns actually say are excessive litigation over insurance claims and proliferation of what insurers see as sham roof-related claims. In other words, fake damage claims. And I can understand that. And Florida has been booming. I mean, Florida, since the pandemic, had boomed. People even from New York going to Florida, all the country are going down for a lot of reasons. And housing down there in some areas, I know for a fact, is not out of sight. If you can't afford the insurance, though, how are you going to afford to live there? This is another thing, kind of, to me, kind of left field. I mean, I knew insurance companies were paying out the yazoo because of all these storms and whatever, but I never thought that they'd be that far out that they're actually canceling the policies.
Speaking of Florida, what do you think of DeSantis?
I like some of the things he does, some things I don't care much for. Overall, I think he does a pretty good job. What do you think?
Think he'd be a good president?
Better than we got right now. for sure.
Well, Ruby,
my
Ruby
dog,
could do
my
that.
Dog,
but Ruby could do a better job than
I was going to say, my dog could do a better job too. But I think, as far as I know about a lot of things, I have to know more about him. But I think I support him right now.
Yeah.
I do.
Well, no one has to be 100% because no one is 100%.
No one ever is. I mean, Kristi Noem, a lady in South Dakota, another strong individual in office. I like her.
Yeah. Hey, I like the break we're heading into. We'll be right back. Please stay tuned. You're listening to Financial Survival.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cedarstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit csetalkradio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival. I'm Melody Cederstrom. I'm here with Pastor Butch. You know, we're talking about all kinds of things heading into the break, and I just wanted to bring this up. You know, Butch, the Census Bureau says the population in the United States is 331,449,281. It's a 7.4 increase over the last decade, but is the second slowest ever. Interesting.
Even with all the illegals?
It's the second slowest ever.
Wow. Wow.
This release marks the official beginning of the once-a-decade redistricting battles. The numbers released Monday, along with more detailed data expected later this year. Of course, we know it will be used as the legislatures or independent commissions to redraw the political map. So I would think, even though there was a 7.4% increase, the second lowest, slowest ever, there shouldn't be any redistricting, you'd think.
Well, you know, West Virginia is on the verge of losing a seat in the House because of people leaving the state. They're actually offering here in Charleston, West Virginia, to pay people to move into the city. I don't know how they're going to do it. Benefits and maybe some kind of bonus, but also statewide, if you're working out of state and say in your home for a company and you do the same work here, they'll give it up to $20,000 in bonuses and benefits to move to the West Virginia.
Wow.
We're losing people. And this sounds awful to say this, but Paul Harvey one time said this on his program years ago. He said, we said, with the last one to leave West Virginia, please turn the lights off.
Yeah.
You know, and we're losing people. And sounds maybe crude, but I don't mind. We're a small state, and I like that way. We're actually very underpopulated for land mass. If we were flat, we'd be as big as Texas. So, but we're losing population. And that's why they want to do away with the income tax. They're going to raise sales tax, which would have been worse on the common guys. So that didn't pass, thank goodness. So anyway, that's how desperate states are. And West Virginia is desperate enough that they're starting to want to pay people to come here to go to work.
West Virginia is a beautiful state.
It is a beautiful state. It truly is. I like West Virginia. I mean, if you like mountains, they come. Of course, they're not compared to the Rocky Mountains. But if you like mountains and valleys and lots of forest, it's beautiful. And coming
beautiful
down
lakes, to see streams.
Oh yes, yes. And we have the largest earth-filled dam east of Mississippi, about 15, 20 minutes from where I live, Somersville Dam. And 25 minutes south of me is New River Gorge. They call it the Grand Canyon of the East. It's worth coming to see. We have a lot of tourism. Well, we did until COVID hit. I guess it'll come back this year. But we are basically a relatively free state. Nobody has to too much. A lot of different areas. So we're not zoned in, out of the counties aren't zoned completely under control. So we're somewhat, I think, a very beneficial state. We're poor, as other states go, as far as fiscal, you know, pay here. But it makes no difference. I like it here. I wouldn't be here. I just like it. I feel comfortable here. But it is a beautiful place. When you go across these mountains in the fall and all the leaves are changed, it takes your breath away.
It does.
See what our God can do with the color of leaves on trees. It is beautiful. Now I'll shut up and I'll start singing Take Me Home Country Road. Oh my. I'll have to call the government to get paid.
Go ahead.
Paid for that promotion.
Yes. All right.
But, you know,
go ahead.
Like I said, another article here that I think we need to take seriously. The folks, don't just shrug this off like it can't happen here. We know what happened in Venezuela. We know it's still under the gun, so to speak, literally an under the gun almost. Armed groups step into Venezuela as lawlessness grows. Now listen, folks, this is going back to like it was in the Middle Ages where different landlords controlled different sections of the country and had his own little private army. This is happening in Venezuela. They bring drinking water to residents in hard and arid scrublands, teach farming workshops, and offer medical checkups. They mediate land disputes, find cattle rustlers, settle divorces, investigate crimes, and punish thieves. They're not police officers, civil servants, or members of the Venezuela government, which has all but disappeared from the impoverished part of the country. Quite the opposite. They belong to one of Latin America's most notorious rebel groups, considered terrorists by the United States and the European Union for carrying out bombings and kidnappings over decades of violence. Venezuela's economic collapse has so thoroughly gutted the country that insurgents have embedded themselves across large stretches of its territory, seizing upon the nation's undoing to establish many states of their own. Now, folks, let that sink in. It could happen here, and it probably will happen here. They established many states of their own, M-I-N-I, many states. And far from fleeing in fear or demanding to be rescued by the authorities, many residents here in Venezuela, borderlands, hungry, hunted by local drug gangs, and long complaining of being abandoned by the government, have welcomed the terrorist group for the kind of protection and basic services the state is failing to provide. The insurgents are the ones who bought stability here, said Ober Hernandez, an indigenous leader on the Guerrero, Pennsylvania, next to Columbia. They brought peace. Wow. Setting up miniature states all over the country. Melody, there's no reason why America can't go the same way one of these days if we don't get things under control here. We're seeing chaos in every direction. And unrest and all manner of situations coming up in this country that we never saw before. We may go to a part where landlords will control many miniature states all across countries, counties here and counties there. But the people are happy. They're bringing some law and order back to them, some protection, and actually trying to help the people with all the situations. What do you think about that?
Well, you know, it's interesting because, you know, we will see it in various little sectors across this country, as you just mentioned. So, I don't know when these things are going to unfold, Butch, but we are beginning to see signs everywhere.
Yes, we are. We truly are. I don't like to see that. I really don't. I'm an old fellow now, and I miss the days of living in a society where we didn't lock our doors and neighbors got along to make a difference what your last name was, or if you're Polish or German or Irish. Made no difference. We were neighbors. Live together in peace, and we get along just fine. I like back those days. I'm afraid we never will.
No, we won't.
But you know, back when a dollar was actually worth a silver dollar, you know, you could actually buy something for a dollar. You could fill a car up on a dollar. That's going good. It's going. And another sign of decline, in my opinion, I have nothing against guns. I think everybody should know how to own some guns and know how to use them. The first-time gun buyers helped push record, again, another record month. Record U.S. gun sales amid a string of mass shootings. You know, there have been, I think, 20-some mass shootings since Biden took office. Isn't that really odd? That all of a sudden they broke out all the country. Because he's all for about gun control. But anyway, first-time gun owners are young and old from across the country are helping to push record levels of gun sales for what looks like the second year in a row. My gun store has had a run like I've never seen before, said Todd Gada, the owner of King's Gun Center in Hanford, California, in the state's agriculturally rich Central Valley. But just an avalanche of new gun buyers for the first time. These buyers are white, black, Asian, and Latino, and come from all political beliefs. And they're being driven by uncertainty, fear, and a need to feel safe. Isn't that leading up to something like just in Venezuela where people are going to have to depend on other ways to protect themselves? I mean, bring in gangs, so to speak, to take care of the people and protect the people from other marauding groups. I think everybody should own handguns or own guns. I believe that all my heart, they should know how to use them. That's called the militia. But when people are starting to be so afraid of a decaying society, they're arming themselves, that's not a good sign, is it?
No, it isn't. I mean, we've been seeing these increased in weapon purchases for a lot of years now, and they continue to increase because our nation becomes increasingly more violent.
That's true.
And it's beginning to creep into the little sectors, you know, I said little areas of this country throughout. So people are more interested. They sense something is coming. They don't know what it is. I don't think many know what it is, but they sense something is coming, and they have that urge to have something to
prepare
protect
for
themselves.
Yes, prepare for it.
To prepare.
I hope it's going over not only with guns, but with also storable foods, a good water filter, some kind of precious metals to have for backup, and a dollar drops to nothing. You know, I would bet you in Venezuela right now, if somebody had a $20 gold piece, they'd be wealthy compared to what the others are that have nothing. They could probably do something with that, barter for something. I mean, if these gangs or whatever taking over, they probably know the value of what metals, precious metals are. I don't know what, folks, you need to think a little bit about what the future could hold. Are you preparing? Pray to God never happens. Pray that never happens. But prepare that it could happen. If not for yourself, for your children. Think about them. Your family. Don't think about just you and your immediate, your wife, whatever. Think about your children, grandchildren. If they get hungry, what are you going to do? Could it happen? Of course it could happen. And in my belief, America is ripe for judgment. It's going to happen. I mean, you should be calling Melody by the thousands asking, how can I prepare a little bit with some financial stability that I can pick hold in my hand? Not on paper, not somewhere in a bank, a piece of paper, not some kind of stocks or bonds, but something that's in my hand that's tangible that I can actually use. You should give her a call. Go ahead, Melody.
800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188.
Good lead-in.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And, well, it's important. I mean, people buying guns, and I'm all for that. I am. Storable foods, absolutely. And I have a couple of Berkey water filters, and I have filters backed up, stored up, in case I need them. But I also had to have more than that, you know, something I can at least trade and swap around a little bit. I mean, maybe I'll even swap out some food, maybe some ammo, something one day. Ammo right now is going through the roof. But something that's more that you can hold in your hand, folks, that's tangible, and people recognize the value of it. That's so important. Montana becomes first state to pass resolution against unconstitutional wars.
Hey, I just hold on. I just want to bring this up real quick before you finish into that. You know, earlier we were talking about the Census Bureau and the population growth, and it's actually it's declined to its slowest rate since the Great Depression, and it looks like let's see here. I just wanted. Where did I see that? I guess California loses a seat. California is losing a congressional seat. And I thought I saw Texas was the biggest winner. The second most populous state added two congressional seats. Florida and North Carolina gained one. States losing seats include Illinois, Michigan, Pennsylvania, and West Virginia, as you had mentioned. Colorado, Montana, and Oregon all added residents and gained seats. So there you have it. So it's kind of interesting. Illinois, Michigan, Pennsylvania. Gee, weren't those the states that were involved in the election fraud?
Yeah, that you mentioned, they were, weren't they?
But anyway, so there you go. I just wanted to update that. So I thought it was kind of interesting.
Well, folks, you heard the place, if you want to go where it's not very populated, West Virginia is one of them. We get about a million and a half in the whole state. But anyway, as again, Montana becomes the first state to pass resolution against unconstitutional wars. I kind of like that. The Montana State Legislature overwhelmingly passed a bipartisan and unprecedented resolution Tuesday calling for the federal government to end endless wars. The resolution passed 95-3 in the House and 47-2 in the Senate. House joins Resolution 9, sponsored by Representative Ron Marshall, a Republican from Hamilton County. It is the first of its kind to be introduced by any state and is currently being used as a model for other states across the country. I don't know if it had any teeth in it or not. I mean, the resolution is just telling the federal government, this is what we'd like for you to do. It's not any way binding. Just saying, this is what we want you to do. So I thought it was interesting. At least one state has decided, you know, where the tar of these wars going on forever and ever and ever, and Afghanistan's one of them, obviously.
But what does it mean?
Yeah, well, that's if they're not declared by Congress, they're not legal. That's what it says.
And so what does that do?
Well, that means that they couldn't be legally fought. That don't mean it's going to stop them, obviously, because again, it's resolution. But unless the United States Congress actually declares a state of war, it's not a lawful war. That's why they call them police actions. They can't call them wars because it's unconstitutional.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, Korea was a police action. You remember that? And actually, Vietnam was too. The ones that died over there, I thought was a war, though. So... But that's what
I don't know why they. Yeah, but you see, I always wondered why they go ahead and do all these resolutions. They don't mean anything.
No, they don't.
I mean,
don't.
They do they mean don't. Something, that's... but they don't.
It doesn't change.
So they
anything.
Wasted how much time doing something that doesn't do anything.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, we're out of time already.
We are.
Wow.
That was a good note to end on. We'll be back tomorrow. So until then, be safe, good night, and God bless.
Ain't it sad? And still there never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad. In my dreams, I have a plan. If I got the